Well, Raihania is from the National Iwi Chairs Forum and has a lot to do in the health sector for his iwi Ngātipura. And a lot of our leaders are sounding the alarm on rising Māori unemployment and a fierce backlash to the budget of 26, which they say is leaving our Māori workers behind. Hey, nā, tēnā koe, it's me, Dale. Thank you for joining us on Wātea. Ngā mihi. Hey there.
Kia ora, Dale.
Ngā mihi.
And kia ora to all your team and all your listeners.
You're a good man. Thanks, nā, for joining us. You know, it's unacceptable, isn't it, that our unemployment rate should sit so high, yet the rhetoric from Parliament's that, you know, we're all the same, we're all born into a level playing field and there's equality across our country. So I constantly point to our political guests on the program now. Well, how can it be that our unemployment rate is nigh on double the mainstream rate? It's now sitting at around 11.5%, about double the national rate. What are you seeing on the ground now, and how serious is this for whānau and communities right now?
Well, the truth of the matter is that double the national rate, what it actually means is they're destroying whānau. It's not just individuals being employed here, it's families. And when you think about, in your earlier comment there, when you think about the way to measure, really, the unemployment rate, is you have a look at the health stats. And if you think about it, you can't have good health without good mahi. You just can't. It doesn't align at all. And so what they're actually doing is reducing the ability for whānau to contribute and participate in society. Now, these are on the back of things like dismantling public health services, dismantling service units like the PSA that support access for whānau, getting into believing in their aspirations can be achieved, and they've just been scuttled. Now, I'm not sure why they keep this rhetoric up. They talk about the 30 billion plus Māori economy, but then we carry double the employment rates. So wealth on the balance sheet, poverty in the pay packet. You can't celebrate the Māori economy while cutting the workers who built it. And the exodus, you know, the way our young people are being destroyed, their hopes and dreams destroyed through lack of trades, training, employment services, TPK. I mean, the very unit, the government unit that we depend on, had this funding slashed, gutted. Now, if you think about it in iwi terms, they've shifted Te Rawhiti from government into TPK and cut the funding. So what that immediately says is that iwi will not be able to, or the government, I should say, will not be able to support iwi engagement. So it is, by deception, a withdrawal of the government adhering to its te tiriti responsibilities. So coming back to it, that's the whole, it's not just about employment. It definitely is a critical element, but it's a wider slash and burn of Māori families that is occurring here under the guise of equality, under the guise of one vote for all, under the guise of, well, I'm just going to say it, white is right. Now, I'll say it this way. You know, when they start bashing Māori, it's actually because they don't have any answers in the economic front. And that's becoming really, really clear. We've had three budgets, and it's basically been a trilogy of Māori abuse. And that is the only way to describe it. To be really clear with you, this is economic apartheid. They are shifting our families, taking away the support structures, taking away the ability for Māori to participate. I'm the PM, a presiding member for a school. The best thing at the moment I think we can do is teach our kids how to speak Australian.
Please. I mean, that's an extreme thought. But I do take your point. It is. Economic apartheid is pretty appropriate term here. Look, we're getting no traction now, are we? From a centre right, perhaps even extreme right wing government at the moment, this coalition, and the way they've been treating Māori issues across this last term has just been diabolical. So what to do of it? I mean, if they're not going to do anything about it, what do you sense we could do ourselves to up the game and lift the chances for our rangatai, etc.? Is there some more that we could do as a people for ourselves?
Absolutely. The key target here right now, right today, and lots of people are talking to their iwi leaders about this, and it's the 7th of November. That becomes now a day of reckoning. It becomes now our probably best chance to shift the dial, to turn the clock, to make sure we're seen as a Māori nation within a nation, so to speak. Because quite frankly, this takes us way back to the days when some silly judge called the treaty a nullity. You know, this is what is happening right now. It's taken them 100 and something years to do that. So the key thing here is for us all, not only Māori, but all of those of like minds, to turn up on the 7th of November. It's 100% the right thing to do.
Tēnā koe, and if we've got businesses or opportunities, then let's prioritise the needs of our own. I'm not sure how that might work, because I think that many proud Māori organisations and companies already do that. But we know that if we don't provide some sort of economic opportunity for our young people, they will just jump across the Tasman or try their luck elsewhere. You raise a very important point too. And this is the correlation between employment and health. It is right, exactly what you say there. So do you think that has been acknowledged as widely as it needs to be when we look at our health stats? And, you know, I spoke yesterday with David Seymour, and he proudly stood and said that he opposes racism. But when he would obviously disagree with that and the track that he is taking us down, I wish he opposed injustice as much as he supposedly opposes racism. But what would you say of the rhetoric that we're seeing coming from parliamentarians as they move forward but almost ignore, as you've raised, the correlation between unemployment and health stats?
Yeah, look, David Seymour's the new four-letter word in Māoridom. Promoting, you know, his taha Māori, well, that's up to his iwi to figure out, quite frankly. I'm not going to make this an iwi battle with my iwi and whatever iwi owns him. But what I can say is this is racism. It's reverse racism. He's promoting one culture above Māoridom under the label that we're all equal. So here's an example. So Waikato School of Medicine building their doctor's learning school. Taita Awhiti had a proposal, very strong. It was denied in favour of a relationship indication through Otago Medical School. But we belong in the Te Manawataki district, which takes us right across to Hamilton. That's where we get our big services from, Taita Awhiti across to there. So within that construct, we're being told that our services are going to come from Otago. So I just don't see how David Seymour can trumpet his health policies and his economic policies when we're being divorced from our very relationships, our own whanaunga across the way. So the stuff he talks about does not make sense. It simply doesn't. And that's the problem. He's identified himself as not having truth behind his words. And you know, the only thing we want is truth, because then we can deal with whatever the ramifications are.
Thank you, Nga. Just finally, if the government isn't getting it right, mate, what do you think a kaupapa Māori economic plan actually would look like if the iwi leaders put something of that nature together? I know, like Waitangi Tribunal findings, it could well be ignored. But what's your gut feeling of if we were to map out an economic plan for Māori, what that might look like?
Well, the first thing I'll say is iwi leaders are trying bloody hard to help and support our own people. What we think is a pretty good way of doing this is creating our circular economy, so circulating our money through ourselves to help build the wealth within our whānau. So that's one thing. You know, Chris Bishop came out and said, right, we're going to have councils. You either amalgamate or we'll do it for you. So why aren't we in that conversation? Why aren't iwi able to be part of that process? In other words, I'll just put it out there plainly. What if councils and iwi joined together to become the local government authority? And that way there we won't be fighting each other. We'll be working alongside each other. So it's another way of protecting our interests, protecting the community's interests, but most importantly, protecting whānau and the taiao. Because the taiao is where we all come from. We're trying to do stuff, and the taiao is telling us, cut it out. But unfortunately, the European view of it doesn't correlate with the Māori worldview. So what I'm suggesting here is we talk about, you know, Te Tiriti o Waitangi as a country, but we're actually afraid to implement it. And I just think to myself, our structures in this country need a reshape. And Māori should be in front and leading that process.
It's great talking with you, Nga. Thanks very much. I enjoy the kōrero that you've shared with us today. What's on your table or agenda going forward? What sorts of hui are you involved in, Nga? And just where you're based, I'm wondering about field days and agribusiness or how that's tying into your life.
Oh, well, we don't have agriculture in Tairāwhiti. We've got pine trees. And so, you know, that was a decision forced on us 30 years ago, sold to us. And what, you know, here's the issue. When we became passive landowners watching trees grow, we lost sheep and beef and cattle and all those things. And when those went, so did the families that we geared around it. So we lost a whole generation of people. So it's about how do we bring those back together. So that's some of the stuff in front of us. We've got our accord coming up with Ngāti Pro and the Crown later in the month, where a lot of these issues we intend on pursuing through that process. And we've got a number of other health-related opportunities, which I think, quite frankly, the government have turned their back on us. So, and we seem to be this little pimple on the side of Aotearoa New Zealand, which gets a little smidgen of dollars here and there, and we're expected to make gold out of that. So life is hell of a tough, particularly on the 35, our Highway 35, as everyone's seen. I think resilience is a catchphrase. It's actually our normal now. We don't have a choice. We do things out of the ordinary just to get up in the morning and feed the cows and milk, you know, and feed the pigs and the chickens. It's that type of philosophy. We've got to reinvent ourselves, I think.
Great talking with you, Nga. Thanks very much. I look forward to another kōrero soon, but appreciate your descriptions of some of what we're facing. Particularly the economic apartheid that we are being exposed to here in our own land. Nga Raihani are with us today, e hōma. Mihi ana, kia koe, te rangatira. Thanks, Nga.
Kia koe hoki.
Thank you so much.